2 Corinthians chapter what? 2 Corinthians chapter what now? Does anybody know? Thank you very much for that. Chapter 11. That's our base chapter. There is so much in 2 Corinthians 11 that we're going to deal with, we're going to tend to. We have been dealing with for quite a while. We've been dealing with, since Paul mentions as the serpent beguiled Eve, so we have been dealing with the nature and the character of Satan, how he works, what he does, why he does it, what drives him. I mentioned the other day on Pastor Mike Online, when it comes to Bible prophecy, so many people are concerned with when, and God just sort of took me out of that study and made me to ponder and ask the question, why? Why does Satan do what he does? Why did Eve do what she did? I believe there's going to be a rapture, amen? But if you look into why is God going to do this? And it's an important question, because then when you understand why, you understand a little bit more of the nature and the character of God and how he works and why he does what he does. And so we've been studying our adversary, the devil, why he does what he does, how he does what he does. And Brother Mike and I have spent some time this week just sort of talking about different things, church matters and so on. He hears a lot of things, sees a lot of things, I see a lot of things, and I like to bring them together every now and then. But we were reminded of what Jude said, where he said, certain men crept in unawares. That word crept, to me, sort of is related to things that creep in the Bible, creeping things. A serpent is a creeping, not a creepy thing. Well, it is a creepy thing, but it's a creeping thing. These things, serpents can get in your house and you'd never know it. They never knock. They don't make a lot of noise. They don't kick over furniture. They just show up. And certain men have crept in to certain positions where the church or the churches, especially those that are in a denomination, they're getting told what to do from the leadership, from the publishing companies and so on, and these are feeding down to the churches ideas and philosophies and doctrines that are drawing them away from the Word of God instead of leading them to the Word of God. When I was growing up, Mike, I got my Sunday school quarterly, and it always had the verses that we were studying in the quarterly, King James Bible. And a few years ago, when they started publishing the new quarterlies, they deliberately left the verses out. Now, their explanation was, well, we want and encourage students to open their own Bibles up and read it for themselves. That wasn't the real reason. The real reason was that was step number one in moving away from the King James. Okay, they knew there would be an instant backlash if they just took the King James out and put in something like the NIV, the New American Standard, or the Message, or whatever. So they just took the verses out and told them to look it up in their own Bibles. The problem is, a lot of these churches now have already gone away from the King James, and they're looking into Bibles that are, they're full of lies. And so anyway, that's how the devil works. He works subtly. He works in a very sneaky fashion to draw people away. And so that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. And so when we look in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Pure. The bride is going to be pure. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So what we've been doing, we've been going back to Genesis chapter 3. So turn there. Genesis chapter 3. And we've been examining the method of operation that Satan follows. You know, when you get to know certain animals, you get to know their nature, and you know that by and large, animals are going to do the same thing day after day, year after year. The reason why we deer hunt at a certain season is because usually at about the same time every year, does go in estrus, bucks go in rut, and they start moving about the woods, and while they're moving, us hunters shoot them dead. Okay? We get them, all right? But it's done at the same season. And my dad taught me deer signs, taught me deer nature, how they think, how they do things, and so on. And so you go out in the woods, you know you can expect them to be in certain places at certain times and so on, and a good hunter will know that. The devil is a beast. He is a dragon. He is a serpent. He does not have the nature of a man. He does not have a choice. You and I have a choice. We have the ability to turn down our instincts, to say no to our flesh, human nature. We have the ability to do that. Beasts do not. And so we know that the devil is going to operate a certain way every time he works. And so the first thing he did was, and let's go over this very quickly, yea, God said, let's question the authenticity and authority of God's word. And so the scholars, they look at the scriptures in that same fashion. They say, yea, hath God said. Daniel Wallace, Dallas Theological Seminary, epitomizes this idea or notion. And he said, scholars are not sure of the exact words of Jesus. Ancient historians were concerned to get the gist of what someone said, but not necessarily the exact wording. In truth, though red-letter editions of the Bible may give comfort to believers that they have the very words of Jesus in every instance, this is a false comfort. Well, if I can't get comfort from scriptures, or if the leading conservative theological scholar tells me that the words in my Bible provide a false comfort, then where am I supposed to be comforted from? That we, through patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. And if that hope is a false hope, then what are we doing here? Let's go back to the drugs. Let's go back to the alcohol. Let's go back to the parties. Let's go back to the chasing women, chasing men. Let's go back to all the things that we used to find comfort with. Let's go back to Twinkies. Comfort food, isn't it? Oreos. Oreos is comfort food. Let's go back to the things of the world, because if we're going to have false comfort, let's have our bellies full while we do it. Okay? So this guy's totally wrong. Totally off base. And what he's done, he is acting more along the lines of not the Spirit of God, but the spirit of this world, in saying the words in your Bible, the red letter words in your Bible, they are not the words of Jesus. That's what he said. Yea, hath God said. He said it's a false comfort. So number one, question the authenticity, the authority of God's word. Number two, contradict God's word. Ye shall not surely die. Now the words that God said were, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And he used the word surely here to make sure that he knew that when he did that, death was approaching. Death was an absolute. And now Satan comes and he directly contradicts what God said. Thou shalt not surely die. There's a chance that you'll live. In other words, it's not as absolute as what God said it was. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. In fact, I want you to open your Bible. Let's see here. Where am I going here? It looks like I've got a lot here in Isaiah. So open your Bible up. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So here you have the pulpits. The prophet and the priest in the Bible epitomize the pulpits. They epitomize the clergy and what they tell the congregation. And in this case, the clergy is saying to everyone, peace, peace. But God says, there is no peace. There is only warfare. They are directly contradicting what God said. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That's the same spirit as God said, thou shalt surely die. Satan says, thou shalt not surely die. Direct contradiction of what God said. If God said something is evil, man then comes along and says, no, this is good. If you see, I like to study signs and symbols. And I'm getting pretty good at understanding what a lot of things that you see. I took a picture the other day. I wish I'd have put it on the screen. We got to Costco the other day, and I pulled in next to this SUV. And on the back, you've seen these coexist bumper stickers with the various symbols on there. This one outdid all of them. And there was a coexist bumper sticker there, and then one that had at least 20 different religious symbols on there, all in a circle. And it was all about everybody, let's all worship the same God, because we, in her mind, we all do. And I told Lisa, I said, I bet whoever owns this car has got to be a lesbian. Okay, well, I don't know if I was right or wrong, because they came out same time we did, and it was a woman and her daughter, and I'm going, well, it's probably wrong on that, but you never know. But this person obviously thinks that all of the religions can just get along if we'll just, I don't know, forget about what it is that we believe and believe in something different. Let's join all the religions together. Well, those are going to be a direct contradiction to the Word of God. If you see a bumper sticker on somebody's car with all it has is an equal sign, does anybody know what that means? Marriage equality. In other words, we support two men or two women. What is it then going to turn into 5 years from now? Three men. Four men. Or two men, one woman. Why not? Because the Supreme Court opened the door. The Supreme Court broadened the definition of what marriage is. And now that that door has been opened by the Supreme Court, that means every sort of perverted concept of what someone wants marriage to be, that now has to be accepted in our society, because the highest court of the land opened the door of what marriage can mean. And I'm surprised they're not yet doing it. There are still fundamentalist Mormons in this country who support polygamy, even though it has been outlawed. You watch and see if they don't sue for their rights to have multiple marriages recognized by the state or by the federal government. You watch and see if they don't do it. Okay? This is what we're approaching to. But they constantly, whatever God said, whatever God's way is, let's turn it upside down. If it's evil, let's call it good. So he said, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. There is, hang on 1 second. Everybody wait just 1 second here. I got something somebody sent me. They constantly, whatever God said. This just in. Flash. This is the Grand Rapids Press. This is up in Michigan. Singing room only. Beer and hymns night unites the faithful in song and suds. We love old hymns and we love craft beer. Mike, this is the members of the Fuller Avenue Christian Reformed Church. That means Calvinism, Reformed Calvinism, which means we can drink all the beer we want and we're still going to heaven. Okay? They sang along at the bar as they attended their fourth beer and hymns night. Quote, "We have both grown up with these hymns and we like craft beer," this guy says. They're singing "Great is Thy Faithfulness" with the beer stein in their hand. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Amen? Sure it is. By the way, they've closed down the tavern up here at the top of the hill. It's got a for sale sign on it. Okay? Now we just have to deal with the American Legion Hall. Okay? Anyway, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. I've said this over the years, and it's a tremendous study that I think you ought to do. I think every born-again Christian ought to get their Bible, Pure Bible Search software, study wine, study strong drink. In fact, take that phrase, strong drink, look it up in the King James Bible, and look up every place in the Bible where wine is mentioned, where strong drink is mentioned. You will not find what these people will say, well, Jesus drank, Jesus made wine, the apostles all drank. They want you to think that having liquor is okay. The Bible gives you this very narrow, limited box whereupon alcoholic beverages have a use medicinally. Okay? We give someone dying of cancer, we dope their head out with morphine to ease the pain. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. And Solomon mentioned that. Someone who's ready to die, give him wine, give him strong drink. So there's a limited use for it. But outside of that, God says stay away from it. And what you then do is you start to see that these symbols of wine and strong drink in the Bible are symbols of someone who is under a false spirit believing false doctrine. Isaiah 28 nails it. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. When someone's drunk, they can't see things right. When someone is drunk, they stumble. And when you are under a different spirit, the Holy Spirit does not make you drunk. You are not slain in the Spirit. Okay? That's false. That's not right. It's not biblical. The Holy Ghost does not cause you to reel around and stumble and puke and everything else. He does not do that. Okay? So, contemplate that. Think about that. Think about what it's saying here. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify their wicked for a reward. See, false doctrine will cause churches to say to two men, it's okay you doing what you're doing. It's okay. God made you that way. It's okay. Everybody's okay with God. They'll justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. You can either keep the word and lose the liquor, or keep the liquor and lose the word. It's that simple. Let's see here. Isaiah 14:12. Art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? King James Bible is right. Lucifer is the right way to translate the Hebrew word Halel. Halel simply means bright. It does not say star. It does not say bright star. It does not say morning star. It is the word bright. The translators knew 2 Corinthians 11 later on says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. An angel of light is a messenger of light. The word Lucifer means light bearer. You have a double witness in your Bible of who Lucifer is, what he represents. Out there fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. And yet the NIV calls him morning star. And then the Bible, Revelation 22, 12, 16, Jesus said, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So now it's got in Isaiah 14 in the NIV, it leads people to think that the morning star falls from heaven. And that's a lie. That is a direct contradiction of what God said. It's making Lucifer the morning star. And he's not. Daniel 3:25. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Mwanawamungu. You remember that, Mike? Those people wept when I showed them in their Swahili Bible that their Bible was calling Jesus a son of the gods. They were angry. And then there's Mike Hutzel standing there saying, now we have Bibles for everybody, and we ended up not having Bibles for everybody. Amen. We had a lot of Bibles, but we did not have enough because those people saw, and God got all in that thing. I was scared to death, Mike. I was scared to death because I thought, man, here I am. Not only are we 100 miles from Nairobi, we're 5,000 miles from home, and I'm fixing to tell these people that they got a false Bible in their hand. And I'll never forget when that pastor stood up and he said, I've heard enough. I went, oh no, I've done it. And he said, I realize I've been preaching out of a book for 20 years, but I've not been preaching the Word of God. Whew. That man's right with God. That man is right with God because he accepted it. They knew that that was not the son of the gods in the fiery furnace, even though their Bible said it was. They knew that that was wrong. Okay, and they accept, and God will bless those people, and Satan will fight them. There is a mosque in that same block where that church is. There's a mosque not even 100 yards down the road. So they're going to have to fight off Islam in that, and there is a bad, bad witchcraft spirit that goes along with Islam. That church there in Kilimambogo is a perfect example of how they orient those mosques. I got to looking at it, and of course, you know, we're on the equator, so I mean, it's dead east and dead west. And that building was not aligned with the town or the street. It was aligned with north, south, east, and west. That's elemental witchcraft is what it is. And there's that spirit that those people are going to have to deal with out there. But at least they've got the sword to do it with. Okay? So when Satan directly contradicts what God said, then that's not God's spirit. This is not the word of God. It's got the spirit of the Antichrist is a son of the gods, but he is not the son of God. There is the spirit of Antichrist in these Bibles, and that's the goal. That's the plan. When Paul warned in 2 Corinthians about another spirit, another Jesus, and another gospel, what he was warning of was the coming and the advent of the Antichrist and his plan. He has a different gospel for everybody, a different way of reaching immortality. And I'm going to deal with that as part of this if I ever get to it. But he has a different plan of immortality. It is a different gospel. And these false Bibles are introducing that into the churches right now. You have to remove the power of God's church here on this earth. You have to remove and displace their power in order to bring that in. And that's exactly what's going on. Take a look up here. God's name, Jehovah. It is seven times in your King James Bible. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. Three times where it says Jehovah and then gives an added thing to his title, and four times where it's just Jehovah in the King James Bible. Okay? In the NIV, that has been omitted. In the New American Standard, it has been omitted. In the New King James Version, Jehovah's name has been omitted out of those Bibles, Mike. New King James. So when someone asks you, well, what about the New King James? Not a king. Find the name Jehovah in there. God said he put his name in there. And if you can't find it, then you don't have it. Okay? Sodomite deception. There should be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. And the NIV quotes it as no Israelite man or woman is to become a shrine prostitute. And I just, every place where the King James uses sodomites in these verses, they took it out and replaced it with shrine prostitutes. Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. When the NIV takes out the word Christ and replaces it with God. In Ephesians 3:9, by Jesus Christ is omitted. Colossians 1:2, and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's been omitted. In John 9:35, dost thou believe in the Son of God? The NIV says the Son of Man. It's replacing, directly contradicting what the King James Bible says. And yet what they'll tell you is, well, the way I study is, I get a King James and an NIV and a New American Standard and a Message Bible, and I get them all together and I read all of them, and I just kind of get from all of them, I get the sense of what God's really saying. How can you if they disagree? Can two walk together if they be not agreed? The answer is not. If I had one leg that wanted to go this way and another leg wanted to go that way, I've got the Jimmy legs. It won't work. I can't go. And if you've got part of the church that wants the new Bibles and part of the church wants the King James, you're going to have yourself a church split. They will not go together. Either the new Bible people are going to have to say, you know what? We'll just honor the King James people in this church. And they'll all use the King James. Or the King James people are going to have to close their Bibles so they can have church. But they cannot do it. It is too much confusion when a preacher is preaching out of one Bible and everybody's trying to follow him in another. Too much confusion. It doesn't work. Then you have Luke 2:33. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. But the NIV says his father and his mother. You know where they got that from? They got that from that corrupted Greek text. The United Bible Society had these esteemed scholars that brought together the new Greek text for all the churches, all the synagogues, and we're talking about around the world. The Greek text then doesn't matter what translation, what language you translate it in. If that Greek text is corrupt, then those Bibles, you cannot produce a pure Bible from a corrupted Greek text. Cannot do it. And then you had a Jesuit priest on that same committee. Somebody right out of the Vatican, sitting on the committee, telling those other guys what should and should not be in that Greek text. No wonder those things are corrupt. The child's father and mother. That's what the NIV says. Now look up here. 54 occurrences of the word hell in the King James Bible. 54 times. And you know what you can do? Is that you can get a list of every one of these verses and look them all up and read them and then know in your mind and heart what the Bible teaches about hell and not be confused. If you have a King James Bible. But in the NIV, there is only 13 times the NIV will use the word hell. That means every other time they replaced it with either the grave, Hades, or realm of the dead. Job 11:8, 2 Samuel 22:6, Psalm 9:17, Psalm 16:10, Psalm 18:5. And that's the whole list right there. Every place in the NIV where they took out the word hell and replaced it with the grave. The Jehovah's Witness can use an NIV Bible in witnessing their religion to people. Because it says what they want it to say. They took it out. That is, watch this now. The grave and teaching people that when they die, they go to the grave, that is a direct contradiction. That is exactly God saying, thou shalt surely die. And we know that that death is the second death in hell. Putting the grave or the realm of the dead is the same as thou shalt not surely die. Same spirit. That's exactly what's going on. Now we're going to get into for God doth know. Once he has removed the authority and the authenticity of God's pure word out of the churches, out of a person's mind, once they start questioning, did God really say this or not? And the church and the church services and the Bible studies and the radio programs and everything, they are full of replacing the word of God, questioning the word of God, saying, well, the original Greek really says this, and the Hebrew says this, and what you read in your Bible is not true. Did God really say that? And they would say, no, God didn't really say that. What he said, it was this right here. Once they've removed the authenticity in a person's mind, once the person has it in their mind that the Bible can be wrong, then they start seeing the places where the Bible is wrong in their mind. And once they've accepted that the Bible is not where the real truth is, then it's easy to come along and replace it. So you hear this saying, Mike, have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard these guys say, well, not everything God does is in the Bible? Have you ever heard them say that? Well, you live in charismatic land. Okay? I mean, Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and a lot of these guys, they all birthed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. All in that area. And there's churches out there that are just full of this stuff. Well, not everything that God does is in the Bible. You know what that is? For God doth know. What they're telling you is that God withheld doctrine from you. And he didn't tell it to you. He's got a secret. And we're going to be the revealers of that secret. Revelation 22:18. I'm going to set it up for you. In fact, look up here on the screen. Benny Hinn is full of, his whole doctrine is, not everything God does is in the Bible. I have secret revelations from God. Do you know where Benny Hinn claims that he met the Holy Ghost at? Does anybody know? Mike, do you know? He said it. He said it on his program. He went to Catherine Kuhlman's grave. Met Catherine Kuhlman at her grave. And she introduced him to the Holy Spirit. That is necromancy. That is witchcraft and getting power from the dead. Dun, dun, dun. Do you think he's got the doctrine of the Bible, or you think he's got a secret doctrine? Secret doctrine. Huh? Secret wrong. Laura used to study the occult, right? Okay? So did you, right, Todd? Okay? I'm telling you. I got books. I got books of all kinds of all the false secret doctrines. There's a secret out there that we can't tell just anybody. But it's not, they say, God didn't put it in the Bible. Okay? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. God put their secret in his word. It's in there. Okay? The Book of Mormon is a, for God doth know. Joseph Smith's whole claim was that the church has been all wrong and I have the real gospel. It's called the restored gospel in Mormonism. The Catholic Church is full of for God doth know, because every time the Pope speaks ex cathedra, that means that what he's saying has the same authority as God. It's just like God saying it. Watchtower group, the Jehovah's Witness, is all about restoring a new gospel to mankind because it's been lost. It is a lost gospel. Or it's like the sacred name people who say that the real name of God in Hebrew has been lost and the churches haven't been using it, and we now are going to restore the sacred name into use so that people can have the real gospel restored to them. That is for God doth know. Okay? The basis of that is, and I know the bell rang, but let me finish this. The basis of that is in Revelation 22. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any of them say, we have something that came to us from God, and it's not in the Bible, it's a lie. It is, for God doth know. And see, the people who are convinced that this Bible's right and everything it says, they're not going to fall for that. They're not going to fall for it. It's the people who have had this developed in their mind that, yea, hath God said, and ye shall not surely die. When that comes to fruition in their life, they will then accept these other things from these false teachers and these false prophets. Okay? The devil knows that he must destroy the authenticity of the Word of God. And he's doing it. He's doing it. People all over the place, even in church, say, the Bible's not right on everything. The Bible's not translated right on everything. Everything the King James says is not true. That's the setup right there. Okay? People, don't fall for it. People online, you guys, see, you online people are at risk more so than some of the people sitting here. Some people sitting here don't really get on social media much, but you do. That's how you found me. Okay? Because I decided that if all the idiots are going to be over here on YouTube saying stupid stuff, that I wanted to be over here saying the right stuff and let you decide. Be careful about what rolls across the screen on Facebook. Be careful about YouTube suggesting to you another video to watch. Who suggested that to you? YouTube did. Be careful of watching that other video, because if they even come close to saying, yea, hath God said, shut it down. I don't read books. People send me books all the time to read. Pastor, boy, this, I know this guy doesn't use the King James in his book, but he's got some. I don't read them. I don't read them. I don't want anybody questioning the authority of God's word in my mind trying to tell me something. I'm not going to give them any of my time. I just don't do it. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this book. Thank you, Lord, that it's still solid. It is the solid rock. It is the stone which the builders rejected. And yet, Father, Lord, you chose us, your people, to be the holders of this great book. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we have not deserved that, but you've given it to us anyway. Father, help us, dear God, to be anchored to the words that are in this sacred book. Help us, dear God, to hold on to these things tight. Help us, dear God, to never, ever, ever in our minds entertain, yea, hath God said. Help us, dear God, to just not have a tolerance of anybody questioning the Word of God, doubt casting the words, saying that they're not really true. Father, help us to remain solid. Father, there's people out there, lost people, that need an anchor, not another piece of driftwood. Father, help us, Lord, with the Bible to be that anchor in their lives. Father, bless Brother Mike as he prepares to preach to us this morning. Father, minister to us, we pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. God bless you.